Thank you very much, Tanya. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the BC Members Call taking place on the 11th of May, 2012. On the call today, we have Neil Blair, Janet O'Callaghan, Andy Abrams, Scott McCormick, Chris Chaplow, Marilyn Cade, Mark Sloan, Steve DelBianco, Elisa Cooper, Ron Andruff, Tara Mostala, John Berard, Angie Graves, and Philip Corwin. And we have apologies from Aisha Hassan. And Gabriella Slack will be joining in a couple of minutes. And over to you, Marilyn.
Thanks. Well, first of all, I'd like to recognize and welcome Google, who is our newest member and who's joining their first call. So we're very pleased to have both Andy and Sarah joining us. That's fantastic. And then I do want to go on and just ask for those of you who are on the call, because there's a lot going on that's related to ICANN's future in the Internet governance space. Can I just get a quick update from those of you on the call who will be in Geneva next week and who will be in Geneva the following week for CSTD, if I could do that? And I'll say that I will be there for both weeks. Tara?
I will be in next week, so used to do Thursday.
Okay. Tuesday through Thursday, okay. And Sarah, Google has people there both weeks, I think?
No, so we're Patrick, Ryan, and Aparna Sridhar will be there the first week, and then we won't have anybody there the second week.
Okay. And I'm just looking at this list. Aisha will be there for both weeks. I can refer her. And I know that Sarah Deutsch is not on yet, but her colleague, Teresa Swinehart, will be there for both weeks. So I think that probably covers our folks that are most actively engaged and that will be there. Let me move to the agenda. I want to turn to Chris for an update on the budget, and then I'm going to insert Scott for a quick update on the DSSA before we go turn things over to Steve. Chris, can I ask you to update on ICANN's budget and then any comments that you want to make about the BC, the impact on the BC budget as well?
Yes, certainly. Thanks, Marilyn. The ICANN FY13 budget was published on the 1st of May, and we've had a chance to look at that now. The Appendix 5, which is what I'll just come to first because that's in the funding for the BC initiatives, Appendix 5, right at the end, lists the SO, we call them SOAC, constituency requests. And these were the requests for particular projects and activities that it was a little while ago now, I think it was back in January, that we were able to put in. And we put in, the BC put in for four different request activities. One was a leadership development program from developing countries. Second one was BC Secretariat Travel. The third one was outreach and awareness event, something we got planned for Toronto. Fourth one was BC Officer Travel. And the third, fifth one was the BC newsletter. The total cost of the funding that we put in for was about just over $50,000, and that was more or less in line with what the other CSG constituencies, the IPC and the ISPs,
Hello?
Put in for. Hello there, can you hear me?
Yes. We're all yes. able to hear you.
You're able to hear. Good. I'll continue. So, as I say, the results of that was published in Appendix 5 to the FY13 draft budget on page 72. We were successful in four of our five applications. The one application that wasn't was, unfortunately, BC Secretariat Travel. And that seemed to be in line with what had been decided or is proposed for the other constituencies as well, Secretariat Services. And there is a footnote on this: due to a variety of concerns about employment and tracking of financial expenses, ICANN's not able to grant these requests for FY13. Any other questions? Let me take some questions on that now, Marilyn, on that particular topic before I move on to a quick summary of the overall budget.
Well, I'll just explain what the point from ICANN is. It's a labor, it's really an HR issue. They think that if they give us money for our secretariat, that would mean that they would have liability should that the secretariat be injured in travel, et cetera. So we'll leave that in their hands to resolve, and if they don't resolve it, then we can just change our financial request on other things for other offset in the future.
Yes, good. But I'm assuming everything gets approved at the board, well, if there is a board meeting, at the Prague meeting, and I think, as it usually does, I'm reasonably pleased. As you know, last year everything was knocked out. We weren't successful on none of the CSG constituencies were successful at all. So I'm quite pleased about that. And it will make a help on our own internal budget, which I can just explain in a minute on that later item. I'll just move on now to the overall. Just a quick update on the overall. Proposed draft budget from ICANN. As I say, it was published on the 1st of June. I sent a note round on about the 1st of May. I sent a note round on, I think, about the 2nd or 3rd of May with some details. So if anybody wants to check the mailing list, they can check that. Details about the same as previous years. The overall revenues predicted in FY13 are up to $78 million from $70 million in FY12. That's excluding the GTLDs, obviously. Operating expenses up 18% to $74 million from $71 million in FY12. And the forecast for FY12 is $63 million, so there is actually an underspend forecast for this current year, presumably due to projects that have just not happened, I assume, rather than efficiencies that have crept in. Staff levels for FY13 up from 149 to 189 proposed. On items that interest us, SSR is up 14%, compliance up 60%. So there's a big increase in compliance. Staff levels going up to 20, to a proposed 20 from 15 in the FY12 budget, although we know the actual levels were slightly below that. And there's also an interesting list of 25 projects published on page 53. New compliance system, CRM system for compliance, which is something we've been asking for a while. A constituency travel database, a document management system, sort of coming from nowhere, really. I won't read out that long list, but you can see it on page 53. One that did raise a few eyebrows, I think, was the $175,000 in for the US, URS, when most people thought that was sort of dead and buried, and thanks, Phil, for some comments on the list. And Kurt has since clarified, I think, and people were listening to the council call yesterday. I don't know whether it came up there, but he saw it more as a placeholder than a specific project. Good. The next item on the agenda, a discussion about the Academy and ICANN's leadership program. Can I knock that one back to you, Marilyn?
Sure.
Yes, thank you.
So the reason this is relevant to us is ICANN had received a proposal from the ALAC initially partly written by parties who have an interest in providing the training. And the idea is that the initial idea is that the individuals who are appointed by the nominating committee would go away for a 3-day retreat, and they would receive a kind of a form of briefing, orientation. I must say I consider it a kind of indoctrination myself. so that they are prepared to participate in ICANN. The original concerns raised by the BC had to do with we asked for a different approach, which would be more egalitarian and open to anyone interested in ICANN, such as similar to the Diplo training, the online training with online materials and resources so that people can self-initiate their learning and capacity building. There's a ongoing discussion right now about whether the academy should be fine-tuned or whether ICANN should take a broader approach at developing training. There will be, and originally there was quite a bit of concern that the funding that we asked for would be limited by ICANN providing funding to other activities related to outreach and participation. We asked for the ICANN staff to do an inventory, a survey, not a study, but an inventory of what is going on, compile the materials, and allow the different interested parties to come up with a sort of a gap analysis on what is needed and what would be most effective to do. That's still being argued about. Right now, the academy is parked. There is funding in the budget somewhere, but it's not identified, to fund outreach and participation. During the BC comments, we will ask for more detail and we'll ask for written materials that describe what is being proposed so that can be reviewed by the various constituencies and groups and then utilized across the board. The funding request into the budget, even though ICANN appears to have a huge amount of money in the bank, this $350 million, for instance, that money is not contributing to the core ICANN working budget. So whatever money goes into communication, which we've asked for a more effective communication initiative, whatever money goes into communication, if it's in the same pot that the academy is in or that ICANN staff-driven initiatives are in, then that will compete with things that the BC wants and that other members of the CSG are interested in. So I did put John Berard, one of our counselors, and myself on the academy discussion group, and as we learn more, we will come back to you, and the BC comments on the budget will specifically ask to have these items clarified and the information published so that everyone can take a look at it.
Marilyn, this is John. May I jump in?
Please.
This is John Berard. On the council, in the council meeting yesterday, there was a discussion about the request from ALAC, Olivier, to the council to participate in this academy working group. And I would have to say that the general discussion focused on, ranged from support to sounds good, let's see what happens. There was no opposition to it. And I don't think that that there is going to be a lot of opposition from it, except as we have been talking on a parallel track about getting a better grip on what outreach is actually being done before we start moving in new and different directions. At this point, the council discussion seemed to be, it seems like a good idea, let's participate, see if we can work from the inside as opposed to from the outside to evolve the proposal to be useful across the board. And I would have to say that that's probably where most of the people in the council meeting yesterday, where they netted out. There's some discussion on the council list right now about it, but I think there will be, I think it will be important for us to participate so as to make sure that the academy, whatever it's called, whatever it does, speaks to all of our needs and not just any one particular SO or AC.
And I hope we're going to accomplish that by having you and me both on that group. But I really thank you very much for that update. Christy, you want to do something quickly about your views on, because then we will get to take other questions from the members, your views on how we'll end the year on the budget, since this money comes in. In a previous meeting, we advised the members that we're going to be beginning to align our budget with ICANN's calendar year so that we can work more effectively. So that's still pending to do. But beginning July 1, we will have some, not much, but some budget offset of cost. It doesn't actually change our budgeted items much, though, right?
That's correct, Marilyn. A couple of the items, like the leadership and the office of travel, weren't in the budget at all. So it's made no effect on that. Certainly, the outreach events and the outreach material have been will be a help. And I put a sort of an allowance into the budget, expecting a positive outcome on that. Secretariat travel went the other way. So actually, the prediction or the guesstimate, if you like, because as I say, we had to do this back in January for something that we weren't going to know about until now, has been about right. So we remain the same. We're the current spend is on target of what we predicted for this year. We just spent a little bit extra. We just bought a Dreamweaver program for Benny for updating the website, but I think that will pay for itself in time. And in my only other comment really is for everybody to be conscious that it is a tight budget. And I think the thing I look forward to is an increase in membership. And for that, I particularly welcome the new members on board. On the call today from Google, and I think that's great. That's a step in the right direction, and with a prestigious name like that, it'll help our membership acquisition and grow, bigger and stronger. So that's great. Thanks, Marilyn.
Any thank you, Chris, and thanks for your work and your subcommittee's work on this. Any comments from members? Chris will be working on. Initial comments, there'll be a short letter from the CSG budget group, Chris, that says that we will not file comments. We're just going to file short comments taking advantage of the reply round, right?
Yes.
So members, though, may have interest in filing their own comments on the ICANN budget, and the only guidance I'll give any of you on that, if you're a new member, is when you file comments in your own name, of course, we ask that you not identify yourself as being affiliated with the BC because you are speaking in your own capacity. But we will be working on BC comments as well, and Chris chairs the working group cutting across the three constituencies on that effort.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, with the short comment round following the call we had a couple of days ago with Steve and Tony from the IPC and ISPs, unfortunately we just felt that the CSG could not put together adequate comments in the out round. We would try for the reply round, and I think it's a bit of a difficult thing, this out and reply, this comment and reply round, but that's another subject. It's a bit of a mess, I think. Thanks, Marilyn.
Any comments or questions for Chris about the ICANN budget or about the BC budget?
Marilyn, Phil here. I just had one question probably for John, and I'll preface it by saying that I spent a lot of time earlier this week at the INTA meeting taking place in Washington, and in the course of it spoke with quite a few members of the IPC, the GNSO Council, and Bruce Tonkin of the ICANN board, and No one had any idea where this URS summit concept had come from or what it really meant. So, John, could you give a little more detail on what Kurt said yesterday? Because to hear that it's just a placeholder when it was quite specific in the budget about, you know, two meetings and follow-up consultation, then an RFP with a goal of having providers in place by June 2013. What exactly did Kurt say on that? And if that's just a placeholder and doesn't take place, what does it mean for URS and the timing of an RFP and having it in place and the details?
Hi, Phil. This is John Berard. Kurt did not attend the meeting yesterday. He was on an airplane and instead sent an email, which I'm desperately trying to find. I had forwarded it to the executive committee. Here we go. Let me read you what he sent us with regard to uniform rapid suspension. There is a budget line item identified as URS Summit. Implementation work conducted on the URS to date indicates that the implementation will not attain the cost target of $300 to $500 in URS fee per case. This is based on discussions with WIPO staff, direct communication with the IPC, and examples understood from the ICM registry and Nominet. Because the fee target is a primary goal of the URS, additional work and study should be undertaken to determine if amendments to the program might attain the fee goal and retain the safeguards and other features of the program. This study must be undertaken by a community group. While the scope of the effort is not yet defined, it was necessary to reserve resources for the work in the ICANN FY13 budget. The line item in the budget is the placeholder for those resources, while the best way to accomplish the work can be designed. Again, the work will be done through a bottom-up community discussion similar to the work done to create and review the URS in the first instance. The timing of the budgeting process required that we create the line item before planning for this work could be drafted and worked through the community. And that's the end of his comment. So clearly what he's saying is that the schedule caused them to surface a line item before they really knew what they would be spending that money on, but he is committing to it being a community-based, bottom-up discussion. But there, he was not on, and there was no further discussion of it at the council meeting yesterday.
Well, thank you, John. And the only comment I make is that it appears they're not quite sure what they're going to do yet. But it's going to include the entire community. But attaining that goal of having everything in place by June 2013 will be a challenge. A full community process, which I favor, and substantial revamping of the URS. I guess we'll just stand by and see what happens. Thank you.
Sure. Bill, we will talk about this a little bit later as well, and I hope you'll be back on by then. Any questions specifically about the rest of the budget items for Chris? And if you find yourself anxious to join us in our small budget working group, Chris, I can speak for you, I think, when I say that you would welcome having additional eyes and participants in the CSG budget group.
Yes, absolutely. Anybody who's interested in is most welcome. I mean, it's a subject that cuts right across all the ICANN activities, so the more help we've got on it, the better. Or conversely, if anybody who's looking at any particular aspect on a working group or anything wants some feedback or some thoughts or some direction into where that might or might not be in the budget, then fire me or the group an email. That's fine, yeah. We're here to sort of support everything right across.
And again, the budget group, because some of you are new, the budget group is about the ICANN budget broadly. And so right now it's heavily the chairs plus Chris as the chairing the overall so open to anyone who wants to join. Just fire Chris or Benny off in the email. Let me move to you, if I can, Scott, and then we'll go to Steve and to the counselors for what happened on the council meeting. But let's hear about DSSA.
Thanks, Marilyn. Scott here. The current DSSA is that we're getting the draft ready for Prague. We have about 15 pages right now in a very rough draft, so over the next couple of weeks we'll be getting that finalized. I assume it'll probably grow in size pretty well. Due to the confidentiality agreements and proprietary data and stuff like that that we're dealing with, there's not much that I can send out to the BC just because of those NDAs in place for the working group. So anyways, if anybody has any questions about anything that we're doing, I know there's some stuff out on the working group page, but a lot of it is sent around internally on the working group aliases. So, but you can definitely expect a report from us in Prague. We're hoping to kind of have this working group wrapped up at that point. I'm not sure if we'll have anything further after Prague.
Marilyn, before we take questions, I think you should explain to all of us why there are NDAs and what the NDAs are about, because it sounds a little mysterious that there's a working group and then there are NDAs and then we can't be told. So maybe you could just clarify that.
Understandable. For those of us that have been around a little while may remember it, but for those of us that are new, the DISA working group was stood up to look at the threats to the DNS security. Through that, there was a lot of pushback from the ISPs, registries, registrars, on the data, on them handing over the data that we need to actually do the assessment and look at some of these problems that are going on. So from that, we ended up putting in place NDAs, or I should say ICANN put in place NDAs between those of us that are members of the working group and the individuals handing or entities handing over data. So from that, some of it is definitely proprietary and stuff we don't, you know, want to hand to other competitors or, other industry members as well. So for the most part, that was just put in place to protect, the companies handing over the data as well as those of us on the working group so that we don't end up spilling anything that may be damaging to any of those entities. So in short, that's pretty much what was done. From that, we're sanitizing it, the data, and being able to put that into a report, which will be out in Prague.
I see that Jeff Brueggemann has been able to join us, and that's perfect timing because I was going to ask a question of you to kick this off, and that is, how does DSSA and how do the members of the SSR review team that Jeff was on for our stakeholder group for the CSG, is there any alignment at this point between those two groups on the recommendations, or is that yet to come?
I think that's yet to come. I know there's been some talk in between. Patrick from ICANN staff has been involved, with both working groups and has been kind of trying to facilitate any needed exchange of information so that we don't, so that the DSSA doesn't have to sit on SSR and SSR doesn't have to sit in with the DSSA working groups. So, from that, there's been a little bit of exchange, but not much at this point. I think there may be more to come, concluding the reports.
Yeah, this is Jeff. We did meet at, I think, two meetings ago, had a meeting between the SSR and the DSSA, and I think we felt like the roles were complementary, and, we're really wrapping up our report now, and we referenced the work of the DSSA working group as being kind of in the risk management section as being an important step that ICANN has taken and kind of supported the working group kind of completing their risk assessment. So I don't think there's duplication, and in fact I think we thought it was a helpful thing that we could reference as something that's happening within ICANN.
Right.
That will continue, whereas we're kind of You know, I think the interesting issues now are going to be the implementation of the SSR report, which may, I think that's probably something we should strategize about, you know, how the DSA working group may fit into that implementation piece.
And I think that's right. And while we don't have a long amount of time to talk about that today, let me park that comment for us to come back to, because I think one of our priorities in the BC has been to continue to enhance our work on security, stability, and resiliency. So let me thank you and also Scott and ask if there are any other questions for you, but note that we will be holding a specific discussion about SSR, including the DSSA, the follow-up to the SSR report, for BC members that have a particular interest in that topic, because I know not all do, and we want to be able to focus the work where we can. So we'll do a separate call to delve into that strategy in more detail, Jeff.
Yeah, maybe I'd just like to thank again the BC members who worked on the comments. I think they were robust and substantive, and we didn't get an enormous amount of public comments, but we've been reviewing the comments that we did receive, and we're having another public call today, this afternoon, which is the third of three calls that we've had. So we're kind of in the process of doing that right now. And, what I'm seeing so far is no major, change in direction or major new issues that we're taking on at this time in the report.
I think so. It might be worth mentioning something that we will have to talk more about, and that is further delineation on what is ICANN's role. When we get into the specifics, is ICANN the director? Are they the facilitator? Are they the collaborator? I think that is going to be a topic of much more discussion with the community. Is that not right?
Yeah, and there is some tension there in the sense of both wanting to hold ICANN itself accountable for things like SSR and then not wanting to look like they can trump all of the stakeholder processes that ICANN operates within. And you kind of see that tension, I think, with the discussions with law enforcement, right?
Thank you. Any other questions for Jeff or for Scott on the... We have two parallel working initiatives going on. One is coming to a stop, and we'll go into implementation, but there will be more discussion about how that happens. There's a framework that will be announced by Jeff Moss, and we'll be getting a copy of that to share with everyone. It will go out for public discussion as well. And then the DSSA group will be making a report in Prague. So we're going to have a significant focus on these topics going forward. Any other comments on this, or shall we move now to policy? Great. Then, Steve, I'll turn that over to you and then to John. And I don't think Zaid has been able to join us. So to you and to John for the policy overview and then specific updates as still needed on the council.
Thanks, Marilyn. Steve DelBianco here. Sent around the policy calendar yesterday. We'll take just the top two channels, first being public comment period, and then I'll turn it over to Jean Berard, who will summarize yesterday's council meeting. So on the comments, the first of the comment closed this week, and this is one where the business constituency was a real leader. Jean Berard and I are both on the working group that drafted metrics and three-year targets for the new GTLD program when it comes to consumer trust, choice, and competition. Most of the comments... And we're digesting them now, but they're very supportive. A few have asked us to go further, and we're going to have to, in the next 2 weeks or so, try to assess the comments, come up with a final report. I wanted to acknowledge and thank BC member Anjali Hansen with Better Business Bureau putting in some comments as well. Any questions on the consumer trust advice?
My question is more, Steve, if you have a crystal ball for just a minute, This work will eventually go into the fourth review team coming out of the affirmation of commitments. That is scheduled to kick off, am I right, a year after the first names go live in the route?
That's right. They're scheduled to go in then. the idea of our working group, though, is that the board requested definitions, measures, that it could start to put in place now before new GTLDs go in the route, so that when that review begins a year out, which will say January to February of 2014, and when it concludes a year later, which is January of 2015, by then we hope they'll look at the performance of the new GTLDs and measure that performance against the targets that were established as part of this board resolution. So think about it. It's not until early 2015 that that affirmation review team would finish its work. And as you said earlier, Marilyn, our goal was to tee up the kind of definitions and measures for the things that the affirmation of commitments requires them to assess on the new GTLD program. But as you saw from the Gantt chart I presented in Costa Rica, this is a multi-year waterfall process where the results of one set of definitions and review fall down the waterfall to the next level, and then the board will review and assess all this and put it out for public comment sometime later in 2012. I think we're fairly confident we'll have all these definitions, measures, and targets in place by the end of 2012 before the first new GTLD goes in the route. I also heard from the U.S. government yesterday, and the U.S. government was at least the first government to sign the Affirmation of Commitments. They designed the document, and they are commenting formally on this consumer metrics, which will be so informative since that department is the one that negotiated and knows what they meant by the words consumer trust, consumer choice, and competition. And so it'll be late, but I'm convinced the working group will take that under advice. Any other questions on it? Great. Number two, Jeff Brueggemann just summarized number two, which is the comments that close on the 14th of May with respect to the security, stability, and resiliency. Jeff, thanks for your hard work on that, and Marilyn for leading the drafting on the BC comments that went in. Big renewals report closes today, and there's just a half a dozen comments in there. I think that's probably appropriate since the fake renewal notices report was pretty detailed at identifying the nature of the problem and the specific steps to take towards a solution. Number four is the .com registry agreement renewal, and there have been several BC members who filed comments, some saying that this the renewal should incorporate all the rights protection mechanisms. Some individuals said, let's pay attention to releasing single-letter second-level domains in COM. Some raised concerns about price increases that are allowed under the renewal. And finally, most everyone who commented mentioned the need to try to use the COM renewal as a way to get thick who is implemented in COM. And Marilyn this morning commented to the list that it thinks it's a good idea for the BC to specifically comment on existing policy asking for thick who is as expeditiously as possible and to use the renewal as a leverage point to move that along as fast as they can. So none of the individual comments would fit neatly into that, but I'd be happy to draft a BC-level comment that insists upon the use of the renewal as leverage to get thick who is. So I'll take a cue on that topic right now.
Hi, Steve. This is Elisa Cooper.
This is Ron Andruff, Steve.
And if Phil is no longer on, I'll read his email, and then I'll put myself in the queue after that.
Great. Elisa, Ron, Phil, and Marilyn. Elisa, go ahead.
I fully support that, and in fact, as the Who Is Rapporteur, I'd be more than happy to draft those comments that specifically request that we use this contract negotiation to ask that ICANN require thick Who Is. So I'm happy to do that. If you have a burning desire to do it, go for it. But if not, I'm happy to do that and take that on.
Love a volunteer, Elisa. Thank you. I defer to you on that. Anything else?
Nope, that's all I had.
Great. I realize that the comments that you submitted individually for MarkMonitor covered thick Who Is. They went on to cover the application of a broader set of RPMs. But for the purpose of this one, it's only the first part that you could use as a template. But thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
Ron Andruff?
Thank you, Steve. You alluded a bit to my comment on the comment that we submitted, and what we were talking about was the fact that at this stage, ICANN appears to be having several different iterations of contracts with registries, and the idea is we need to harmonize that and get it down to something that is one for all. And so our recommendation from RNA Partners was the single letter, releasing the single letter in .com as it is in Biz, Info, and others. And the idea here of, you know, again, the harmonization of getting the .com registry agreement as close as it can be to all the others, I think, is a very good idea. So, indeed, we should be pushing for the thick who is, and thank you, Marilyn, Lisa, and others for pushing that one forward. Thank you.
Great. Now, Marilyn, I think you said you were going to summarize Phil Corwin's and then make your own. Go ahead.
So, Phil sent me an email saying he might have to be off during this time. We'll be rejoining. I'm going to read what he said in the email. In regard to thick who is, ICA, who he represents, has no objection to requiring that for .com. The issue is, to the extent that there is thick who is whether this should be required by contract or left to policy process. He then goes on to say that the contract could require thick who is contingent on appropriate intervening policy decision. That's the close of Phil's comment. I will make a comment individually at this point. I want to be really clear to everyone. We've said this previously, but I think maybe Lisa, as our rapporteur, may even want to come back after the comments and do something that summarizes this for all of us that could go up on our wiki. Thick who is a first step in the right direction. ThickWhoIsFor.com is a first step in the right direction. It will not by itself directly improve accuracy, but I'm going to make a comment on how, why I think it will help indirectly on accuracy. It will not help us directly with the need to move to a new standard, but it will help indirectly. And it will also give us then, with the potentially over 2,000 new GTLD names, it will give us a standard for thick who is in the majority of the second-level names. Indirectly, the reason I think it will help us with accuracy in there are 92.9 million names registered in .com, another 14 million registered in .net, and about 12 million registered in .org. If we are able to get 50% of today's domain names in thick who is, then for purposes of standardization of responses and the ability to file complaints about incorrect data, et cetera, I think that will indirectly help the community overall. It also should help us with the fact that the registrars are typically very resistant for bearing the cost for things that they cannot charge for. And moving to a new standard on who is could be something that there would be strong resistance to from particularly the much smaller registrar community. That is not something that VeriSign will resist, moving to the new standard. Again, the new standard and the new protocol, SAC 051, that's not going to deal with the policy issues on display and access, but it will be making some improvements on a standard protocol and improvements on the gathering and standardization of the data that is gathered. So I think this is a first step in our ongoing continuum of moving toward accurate, accessible, centralized who is.
Hey, thanks, Marilyn. So Lisa, that does make sense to write like you did about the essential prerequisite of having it into the contract. As Marilyn said, let's indicate as well the BC's support of a new standard for who is. We filed written comments on that 2 weeks ago, as you recall, about using the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, or RAA. The amended RAA might be another tool that drives towards accuracy, which Marilyn mentioned as well. And the third is the notion that there are five ongoing studies of who is right now, and the BC was very active at framing each of those studies. And sometime in the next 12 months, the study's results will come together. And logically, I'd expect those to generate a PDP, looking at relay and reveal of proxy and privacy, looking at accuracy of who is, abuses of who is. And altogether, that probably leads us down this path of policy development. And if that policy's come out, the good news is that a .com contract that has thick who is means that that data will immediately move. The improved data will move into the thick who is slot so that it's more accessible to all. So that comment is due on the 17th of May, 6 days out from now. So So, Alicia, whatever your schedule will accommodate at getting a draft together, I'm happy to look at it and then circulate to the group so that we'll have five or six days anyway to review before we submit it on the 17th of May.
Okay. This is Alicia. I will try to get out a draft to you today so we can perhaps get that out by the end of the day.
Fantastic. Thanks, Alicia.
Yep.
Comment number five was reviewing the IDNs for country code top-level domains because they were given a fast track so that they didn't have to do PDP before they launched IDN versions of ccTLD. That horse is out of the barn. I don't know that the BC has a comment on that, but a number of BC members may well register domains in ccTLD IDNs, and if so, this is a great opportunity for the BC to comment on whether that fast-track process really took into account the needs of second-level domain owners. Anyone on here using country code domains in IDNs right now that wants to raise that issue? All right, I'll skip to the next one, which is the .post agreement. I'll ask the same question. Those comments aren't due till May 30th, but are any BC members anticipating the use of domains in .post? I would be surprised. Steve Goldstein, former ICANN board member, wanted to get .compost as his domain. He filed a one-line comment to that effect. All right, number seven. Chris Chaplow already discussed the BC's comments on the draft operating plan and budget for fiscal year 2013. They're due the 24th. And, Chris, I think you said earlier on the call you'd try to get a draft out sometime next week, did you say?
Steve, from the CSG side, we'll put out just a holding reply and attempt to do a CSG-wide document in the reply round. From the BC side, I'm optimistic that we can do something for that date, yes.
Great. So that we're about 14 days from the initial comment closing date of the 24th, and 14 is, as you know, more than adequate. It's with the charter request. So if the sooner you get something out, the sooner people can digest it, because this is a very complex document upon which to comment, and we all appreciate the work you put into it.
That's
all right, the final comment. Yeah, the final comment is IDN variant TLDs, and it's just a program plan. I think we're going to likely to comment on that. So I'll stop there and turn it over to John Berard to recap yesterday's council meeting, and then it'll be back to you after that, Marilyn. John Berard,
this is John. Yeah, this is John Berard. With regard to yesterday's council meeting, the high points, of course, were the best practices motion offered by Zahid. It did get a second. Carlos was the second, but the registrars asked that it be deferred, and so it was. And so it was put off to the next meeting. There was some discussion, particularly among the registries, that the motion sought to double up on activities that were already underway elsewhere, but not a total replication, merely an overlap. And I think that's what allowed the motion to stay alive, but was pushed off at the request of the registrars. In terms of other matters that would be of interest, I have forwarded to Benedetta a slide deck that was presented yesterday regarding the process involved with the new policy development process. It would be too long a presentation to go through on this call, but Benedetta, if you could send it out to the membership, and if people do have questions, we can discuss them on the list. The general consensus is that the new PDP is a much more clearly understandable process with very specific requirements at each stage, but that it may add a couple of months to the process. This was of concern at the council because councilors are sensitive to the community belief that, at least as some councilors see it, that it takes forever to get anything done. And so here we are with a new PDP process that seems to extend the time frame, the timeline. So take a look at that when Benedetta, if you would be so kind as to send it out. I would have to say that the two subjects of conversations that were most active were the discussion about the International Olympics Committee Red Cross drafting team, and the elimination of the public board session on the Friday of the international meetings. With regard to the drafting team, International Olympics Committee Red Cross, there are a number of things that are combining here, melding, I guess, for those of you who play pinochle. The request from the GAC, the letter from the IO, from IGOs, and the ongoing first-level, second-level protections discussion. The outcome was that the council remains committed to the drafting team's work, both at the top level and the second level, that work will continue, and that the council, I suppose, over Stefan's signature, will send a note to the GAC indicating that the work is in process and suggesting that the hopes and dreams that GAC has will ultimately be satisfied to an extent that everybody can be happy with by the work of the drafting team. With regard to the public meeting, or as we've all seen the board now saying that they're going to eliminate the Friday meeting, shorten the session by a day, everybody seems to be quite happy about that. But the focus was not on whether the board meeting should be reinstated, but rather the implications for not having that board meeting on transparency. That was the dominant motif that the board, whether there is a transcripts or not, not having the public meeting diminishes the opportunity not just for the community to be aware of how the board members act and interact, but also puts a strain on the ability of the nominating committee to know whether or not a board member is deserving of reappointment. So those are some of the issues that were discussed. With regard to the academy, I think we've already covered that. And then finally, there's a question from Stefan and the vice chairs for issues that should be covered in Prague when the council meets with the board, when the council meets with the CCNSO, and then during the council's work sessions themselves. As you know, there's the Saturday-Sunday sessions. And so I would ask for any thought that the BC has with regard to issues that should be, could be, ought to be brought up at any of those three sessions, the board council meeting, the CCNSO council meeting, and the council work sessions on Saturday and Sunday. That, I think, is all that came out of that meeting. Any questions?
John, I have a question. It's Marilyn, but I can save it and talk about it under the next topic, which is the second next topic, which is board improvements and interactions.
This is Ron. I'd like to be in the queue also, please.
Well, Marilyn, you want to hold off, Marilyn, and we'll let Ron go first?
No, I'll the chairs of the constituencies, so first of all, just to make sure I'm not talking in code, which I think sometimes all these acronyms make us sound like we're doing, the GNSO, the Generic Name Supporting Organization, has a council who, according to the bylaws, is responsible for GTLD policy management. Its bylaws are different from the bylaws for the CCNSO. The council of the CCNSO also governs the CCNSO. That's not true for the GNSO council. We have a leadership, distributed leadership established by the board that creates stakeholder groups and constituencies. And I say that for all of our new folks because there is now a chairs, informal chairs group that has had breakfast now three meetings in a row and will be meeting again in Prague. And the informal chairs group generally is not happy with the
both the way the decision was made, the fact that the board did not vote on the decision, and the fact that the board is increasingly meeting privately, including having three meetings in Costa Rica, none of which were announced, none of which were agended, and there was no transparency at all about the meetings. So, I just want to reflect that because we are going to discuss this much more within the BC and then within the CSG. And I think we're going to have to figure out how we deal with the fact that the council, which is focused on policy, may end up having different interests from the overall needs of the full constituency.
John, you want to go ahead and manage the queue for questions for you?
Well, the only other person in the queue at this point is Ron. So, Ron, why don't you go ahead?
Thank you, John. Ron Andrew for the transcript. I really just wanted to underscore a lot what Marilyn has said and I think what a lot of us are feeling. This the aspect that the board would decide that they would not have a public meeting when that is the only time we get to see the board interact with each other is unconscionable. This is an organization that's built on transparency and a bottom-up consensus. And you quite rightly noted, John, that there would be a tremendous deal. This would deal a tremendous blow, not just to the organization as a whole, but also to the non-com to understand whether or not they managed to create a broad enough spectrum on the board to serve the needs of the organization. So this is, I think, really a call to the front lines by everyone to push this back on to the week-long meetings. We cannot have a board operating completely in transparency and the staff not reporting back to us what's being said. It just cannot happen. So thank you very much.
Well, I'd be more than happy to take the BC's point of view back to the council. I do think that the ability to change that decision, whether it's I think the ability to change that decision is going to much more readily come from each of the constituencies. So I think that breakfast meeting that you are talking about, Marilyn, is really an engine for that kind of change.
You know,
Marilyn, I'm sorry, this is Ron. John, I agree, but I think that there's no reason why we're not bringing this back and certainly gathering a lot of consensus within the GNSO about this, because that's where the discussions are being, that's where we as the members of the GNSO, all of us who are participants in ICANN, that's the only place we can have that discussion. So they really do need to get parallel tracked, I think. I think you're on the right. You're saying that you would be happy to do it, so I'm not disagreeing, but I'm just underscoring that that's an important place to have this dialogue, no question about it.
And it's Marilyn. So I do think, John, taking back the concerns, this topic was on the agenda slightly later, but why don't, since it's the last topic, if it's okay with Elisa, could we just continue this topic right now and then come back to you on who is?
Yes.
So let me skip to item 6, and then we'll come back to Elisa. So let me report on a couple of things. First of all, there is a chairs list. There are two chairs list, and the second chairs list has all of the chairs that I just mentioned on it. It has the chair of the CCNSO herself, the CCNSO, that is Leslie Cowley, who also serves to chair the council when they meet as a council, but she chairs the CCNSO as well. It has the chair of the GAC on it. It has the chair of the ALAC on it. It has the chair of the SSAC and the ASO, and it has the it has the registries and registrars and the chairs of the constituencies in the GNSO. On that group, it turned out that Crocker had had private conversations with Wendy, with Stefan, with two other people, one of whom is not a chair. And they had said they would love to have the Friday back. And Stefan had his own view that he expressed about maybe it would be useful to take part of the public forum on Friday for the chairs of the chairs, not the chairs of the constituencies and the SG, but the chairs who normally do the reports, and give them a significant time slot on Thursday so that they could have more of an audience for their reports. There was, to my knowledge, no discussion about that idea within the council and the GNSO council, and I would say that I would strongly oppose taking any time away from the board's public forum on Friday. And I consider it inappropriate for a proposal of that nature to be made by the chair of the council responsible for GTLD policy without an opportunity for consultation more broadly across the GNSO. So I think we've got an ongoing conflict here where there's confusion about who should be in charge of what part of activities at ICANN. The meetings at ICANN are not just opportunities for the GTLD policy work to get done, but an opportunity for the full community to meet and work together. So when the board cancels a board meetings and interactions with the public, or when major things change in rearranging a schedule that already is pretty fragile, it affects the full community, including all of us who have to try to get funding and organize parallel meetings and interactions with each other. So I'm concerned about the I know that this is going to be viewed very opportunistically by enemies of ICANN over the next 2 weeks for those of us who are going to be in Geneva. And it also is happening partly because the board is unwilling to deal with conflicts that they're experiencing within themselves over the conflicts of interest. And that itself is a very bad thing. So my sense about this is, you know, it's up, we're business. It's our job to be part of the solution, not just part of the problem. But I think we need to be asking ourselves, there's, I guess, a third aspect to that, this issue, and that is, yes, we all agree that some improvements in ICANN meetings are needed. But our proposal for getting improvements in the ICANN meetings was to ask ICANN to set up a program committee that could help to take input, make sure that the meetings were scheduled in a way that they served the community. I would say myself we need to look at whether we need 2 full days on Saturday and Sunday for GNSO working groups, because I don't think over the last 3 meetings that time has been fully used. But we need to do an analysis of changes and put forward a plan for changes and not make them without effective notice and taking that into account. And I think that that's what Steve did. Steve reacted negatively because he didn't like the fact that the public comment forum ends at 6 p.m. and then the staff and the board go to work writing resolutions. So I'm focused on what is the message that we need to give to the board, not just Steve, about what we expect in terms of public transparency, in terms of the board interacting with each other in an effective way through the meetings, and resolving how they're going to meet the transparency and accountability obligations.
Okay, thanks, Marilyn. And Juan, we ought to look at wrapping up. We're at 12:07 on this, and I know, Marilyn, you have other stuff on the agenda.
Steve, I think we were going to take comments on this topic first, please. So does anyone have anything else to say beyond what I've said or beyond what Ron has said? Okay. Let me just go back to you, Elisa, if I could, please, for I think we've already resolved the comments on sick who is there anything else that and I had proposed that maybe you come back covering some of those other issues in a separate document for us. Is there anything else that you wanted to add on who is other than what you've already said?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. I think Steve alluded to the numerous WHO is studies which are underway, and there is a link on the ICANN website which provides an update. So if anyone's interested in getting that link, please drop me an email and I'll send that to you.
Okay. Then
I'll send you a list of all those studies right now, Lisa. Thank you.
So just a couple of quick updates for folks. There is a discussion being scheduled with Bill Graham, the board member who was elected by the by our house, that is both the non-commercials and the commercial constituencies. We're working on and we will send a doodle out, but we're working on the week of the 29th, sometime that week. It will be a CSG call, so it will be membership from all three of the constituencies. We'll be coming back to you and asking you for a couple of questions that you might like to pre-pose to Bill. This is to help Bill. Bill has an obligation. You know, board members do not represent the people who elect them, according to the bylaws, but they do have an obligation to understand the concerns of the communities that send them to the board. And that's something that Bill made a commitment to us when he met with us in the CSG in Costa Rica that he would spend more time on. So this is a follow-up that I took with him, and we'll be working on that, start taking about a couple of questions. We will have another meeting with him in Prague on the Sunday morning to kind of keep helping to build his awareness of the concerns that, and he, by the way, I also asked him to set up separate meetings with the other half of the house. I'll just say, I need to hear if there's we should be thinking about whether there are particular issues or materials that we want to try to put together that describe the concerns of the business constituency or who we are, what our focus is, that we would have prepared that could be forwarded to the new CEO when that person is appointed. It's not something we've done in the past, but it may be something that we would like to do going forward, taking some of our existing materials about who the members are, what our primary topics are, what our priorities are, SSR, as well as policy. So think about that. It's not something we need to do now, but we would need to have it done closer to Prague. It would be forwarded to the CEO. It would not be a topic of meeting or discussion with the CEO. I'm just going to take a quick minute if there's anyone who particularly wants to say anything about the TAS interruption, because I did hear from a few of you that you were very concerned about what this looked like in terms of credibility for ICANN. Any particular topics or issues that anyone wants to raise on that?
Marilyn, this is John. I would love to hear anything you hear over the next 2 weeks in Geneva. The whole matter has been handled in a way that suggests that there is either more to this than is being said, or it has become a legal liability exercise at this point. I don't know which it is, but I think it does open the door to outside criticism and maybe add some momentum to those who want to get involved, if not overtake Internet governance.
happy to report back. I will raise one point that I would like to raise to the members. Because of our travel schedule in going to Costa Rica, it would be most helpful if I can publish the strings by the 12th of June, not by the 18th or the 19th of June. But if you look at their previous schedule, they were going to close, I may get this wrong, they were going to close on the 12th and then published on the 30th. That's 18 days. They have over 2,000 applications now. Even in reopening, they're not getting any new registrants. That is, the initial registration process is already closed. So in theory, they should not be getting huge numbers of additional new applications other than those they already have. If we're going to have any opportunity and the governments are going to have any opportunity to review the strings, just the words, it would be better for all of us if they could publish that by the 12th or 13th at the latest. Otherwise, we're going to have almost no time to do any effective review. Any comments on that idea and about asking for that? Is there any opposition to our asking for ICANN to publish the strings by one of those two dates, or at least by the 15th, so that we're asking them to make sure they meet a deadline? Otherwise, you're going to be going into Prague with no real ability to have even reviewed the strings. No comments? Okay.
Marilyn, this is Elisa. I fully support that. I think that if they're planning to release the list at Prague or just before, it will be very defocusing, and really that's all people are going to be focused on and talking about, and everything else will be sort of pushed aside, and all the other important work that needs to happen, there just won't be, I don't think there'll be much focus.
I think that's true, and that really concerns me, given the other things we're supposed to be considering there. Okay. let me move to planning for Prague. I'll send out an update, but I do just want to note that I would like us to start planning to identify and invite a number of brands that we've been trying to recruit to the BC for some time, and think about really targeting, inviting them to come to Prague, particularly for the Sunday night through Wednesday morning, which is what we usually do in terms of encouraging business to come, so that we can give some priority to helping them find their way around at ICANN. We'll be doing a discussion of the new schedule, and Benny and I will work on that. And then finally, we are going to be publishing a newsletter for Prague. Its primary focus is going to be the kinds of information that would help new businesses find value in joining the BC. We have an outline for that, and Chris and I will be circulating that beyond the XCOM to the members shortly. So we'd be looking for you guys to comment on the proposed topics and consider nominating new topics that we could add to a newsletter. So once again, we'll have something to distribute in Prague and on our website and to use in membership recruitment. Anything else that anyone wants to focus on or add? We will be, right now, our next member call is, I believe, the 29th. Is that right, Benny? Actually, I know that's right because I just looked it up. So that's the day after a holiday in the United States. Benny will send a reminder out about that to see if we can still keep to that, and then we'll do one more prep on the 7th of June, getting ready to go to Prague. And then we'll add other, if we need to add another prep in, we will. But we're going to, I also have this call with Bill Graham, so we may try to just restrict the member calls to those two calls plus the call with Bill Graham. Any final comments from anyone? If not, let me thank all of you for joining us, and we will look forward to hearing from you online. We've got comments coming from on Whois, and Chris is working on budget. I think we normally circulate those as an FYI since the comments really come from the finance vice chair. But look forward again to any volunteers on that work if there is anyone who wants to join them. Thanks, everyone.
Good luck in Geneva, Marilyn. Safe travels.